The views and opinions expressed on this program are not those of the station, but of the sponsor, the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce.
Welcome to the Chamber Connection. I'm Todd Thomason, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. On a not-so-Chamber of Commerce weather day today, a little soggy out there, and looks like it's going to be that way for a little while, but hope you're having a good Monday and looking forward to a good week. So this morning, I'm honored to be joined by Connie Bookman. She is the President and CEO of Pathways for Change here in Pensacola. Connie, welcome to the Chamber Connection.
Thank you so much.
And so let's get right into it. First of all, give us a little bit about your background and your work at Pathways for Change.
All right. Well, the 60-second version of my history is grew up in Miami, middle of seven kids, first to go off to college, went to St. Leo outside of Tampa, and visited Pensacola a lot. My sister was married to a Navy pilot. So fell in love with the beach and said, I'm going to spend the rest of my life here. And I did. My first real job out of college was, you might be interested, for the Chamber of Commerce. I was manager of marketing and tourism. And we were charged with raising $250,000 for the Push Pensacola campaign in the early 80s. So that was like a gazillion dollars. But we did it. That was fun. Went on, got my master's in social work, and my first career, or my first job toward that career, was at Gulf Breeze Hospital. So okay. I worked for Baptist Healthcare, eventually moved to the main hospital, and learned that as I was helping people discharge out of the hospital, there was nothing for single homeless women. So in 1992, I went to Leo Gray, the executive director of Waterfront Mission, and said, I think I can help you with this. I have this idea. And he said, wow, that's amazing, because somebody just gave us a house yesterday on Balin and Cervantes.
Wow.
So I did my due diligence, met with Community Drug and Alcohol. They were a big supporter of me in developing that program. Developed a four-phase, year-long program for homeless women. Did that a couple years, went back to Baptist. And little did I know, 10 years later, as I was director of the Christian Counseling Center at Baptist Hospital, working with interns, I had an opportunity to teach in the jail. And again, was just overwhelmed with the criminal justice system and the histories of these women. They were never going to escape that system. So went back to the old days of, starting that program. And thank God for Dennis Williams, the director of the jail at the time. He made it happen. He allowed me to start teaching classes. We had mentors for each of the women. And it was getting a phone call on a Friday afternoon saying, I love this girl. I've been visiting for 6 months, and she's not calling me back. And I know she's back with that old boyfriend.
Yeah.
So I marched into the director's office and said, we got to do all or nothing. And he said, I have no idea what that means. I said, either do I. So went home and looked on the internet, found a program in Marysville, Ohio. He paid a group of us, to include Peg Nicholson. She's still involved with our work. We all went and became an inmate for a week in a maximum security prison in Marysville, Ohio, and learned about a therapeutic community. So came back, launched that February 2005 at Central Booking and Detention, and then 6 months later, a program for men in the main jail.
Okay.
So it's been fun.
Wow. That sounds pretty intense. So talk about the Homeless Reduction Task Force. This is something we've met about it earlier this year, and I know you've been doing a lot of work with that, but explain what's happening with that and who's involved.
So again, it's just listening and looking at what's worked as far as my work in the community. And in 2010, I was writing a state grant, a challenge grant to expand our program. And they said, you have to have a reentry task force. And it's like, okay, whatever that is.
Right.
So got into it. We ended up 85 people. That first meeting, 85 organizations involved. That task force went on for 4 years. We got so much accomplished. It was incredible. And so it was November 22nd, reading the news journal about the homeless situation, and they were given some recommendations. It's like, I know what we need to do. And called Brittany Austin, who was my right-hand gal, and said, we've got to, you know, resurrect that model. So we did. We have over 200 people, members, on 7 subcommittees.
Okay.
So I can get all into that if you want.
Yeah, ready? I'd love to hear about that.
So, you know, figuring out, and we took months in developing the subcommittees. Our first meeting was May 26th. So, you know, all of those months leading up to launching the 7 subcommittees, we had to figure out exactly what did we think are the issues, and how are we going to create a subcommittee to take an inventory of services and figure out what our plan is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So housing, thank goodness, those two brilliant women co-leading is Meredith Reeves with the County Housing Department and Marcy Whitaker with the city. And then healthcare, you know, that's huge. How are we embracing our people experiencing homelessness? Chandra Smiley with Community Health and Jules Carrier with Ascension Sacred Heart are leading that. Very important is employment, workforce development, education. That subcommittee is led by Marcus McBride, mm-hmm, with CareerSource, and Jesse Wolf with George Stone. That's a phenomenal, you know, very forward-thinking group. Obviously, one of the most important is mental health, addiction, case management. That's led by, you know, rock stars, Laura Gilliam with the CEO of United Way, and Dr. Irv Williams with Lakeview. Another important component is the legal services, criminal justice, and specialty courts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the attorney, Allison Patton, and Ronnie Rivera with the sheriff's office. And then finally, the advisory committee, of which you're on, Todd,
right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can talk more about that committee and what that's made of. But I think the most important is the Faith-Based Organization Food Program Mentoring Transportation Subcommittee, because it is going to take creating a relationship with each and every individual.
Right.
And that is a lot of work. I mean, it's easy and, you know, a great benefit to collect coats and tents and all the tangible things that they need, but you're never going to move out of homelessness unless the words in your head saying you're never going to amount to anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a lot of people have just been treated terribly, or, you know, just their economic situation. So very excited about that. And I tell you, the mayor was smart to say, gosh, we have this huge movement. A lot of things were happening at the first meeting,
right,
in May and June.
Right.
So for him to call us and say, look, I'm going to set aside $3 million. I need you to tell us what to do with this. So that was fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, give us an update on that. So there's some money that's available, and you're going to be able to provide some programs.
When the mayor called in July, and we realized how that I-110 overpass encampment was growing, that sense of urgency, it's like, we can do this. So we took 2 months, each of the co-chairs that I just described met with their subcommittees. Amy Lavoie had trained us on what those guidelines are. How are we going to spend these ARPA federal dollars? So we knew what that assessment would be for each of the nonprofits. It's kind of nice. It takes it out of our hands. We're just purely giving recommendations. The city council can do whatever they want.
Right.
And if a nonprofit, you know, there are some nonprofits say, well, you know, how come I can't apply? And it's like, you can apply, but you may not be eligible. You have to have been in existence 5 years. You have to have had yearly audits, things like that.
Yeah,
so,
it's federal money, so there are a lot of strict guidelines.
Right. So, you know, and then we started meeting weekly as co-chair. So the 14 of us met and decided, you know, again, like I said, it's going to take relationship to move people out of homelessness. So that first recommendation, there were nonprofits that say they were interested. Since then, some are not. And some others are saying, you know, I think I'm eligible and I want to I want to apply. And right. so we say, come on. But, you know, in MSW, Pathways for Change did that. We had 26 interns at any one time.
Wow.
We had a full-time person overseeing that. So it was a beautiful way for a master's level person in psychology or social work to be in private practice, to teach classes, things like that. So that's what we wanted for our community in agencies that serve the homeless. So that was a recommendation. Waterfront Mission, thank God for their 73 years of service to our community. They're going to expand their respite beds. So just think about the cost associated with someone that's homeless, nowhere to go, and just had surgery. And
right.
they're going to sit in that hospital because there's no place to go. So,
right.
you know, allowing them a safe, clean place to recover is great. And then opening their counseling services, you know, that, so that was a recommendation. They're already being vetted by Amy Lavoie and moving forward with their recommendation.
Right.
Canopy of Hope is another one. She's looking at the Dream Center, and that's for sex trafficked victims. So she's applying for some money. Lakeview Center is looking at a behavioral health team. And I'll tell you, since we came out on September 20th to talk, give our recommendations, we then came back and said, you know, I think we could do this even better. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I love about this task force is they're vulnerable. They're okay to say, we're brainstorming. Like, this is not a perfect plan. We're here to give and take information from the city council and the public. And so Lakeview may be changing their proposal a little bit. Reentry Alliance Pensacola, thank God for Vinnie Wibbs. He is a doer, this guy. So opening 52 beds for women and children at the Lakeview Lodge. I always say that. It's Lakeview used to have lodges.
Right.
It's Salvation Army Lodges. And then looking for a 5-acre campsite, getting people out from what they call the tree lines. So there are homeless that you don't see.
Right.
You know, it's very obvious under I-110, but there are many, many, many camps. And we're going to be able to move them out, start that relationship, start providing services. So I'm excited for that. You know, in my little mind, I was thinking, you know, I saw the demonstration at Salvation Army for pallet shelters, and it's a super cool idea. There were in Portland, Oregon, they're a little expensive, but my thinking was, well, we need something quick. We'll do one pilot project, and then people can come and say, I could build that for a lot less expensive. It's like, great, but we got to get started.
Right.
And so, and the idea of pulling churches in to say, would you have a little community, women and children, on your campus with a beautiful privacy fence and security cameras and Lakeview coming in and doing services, other nonprofits, having a liaison who will work with your church group, train you as mentors, provide that transportation, let that mom get back to school, get a quick certification so she can then go on and have a better job. So we put that out there. I'm actually rescinding that because since we came out with our recommendations, Ron Long and Scott Parks of Parks Long Construction read the Marbit study and about the holistic center. They've heard me talk about, you know, that's what we have to have, something like a Kearney Center in Tallahassee. They went and bought the former Escambia Community Clinic on Maxwell and Palafox and said, there's your 17,000 square foot
wow.
on 3-acre holistic center. So when I stood up in front of the city council on that following Thursday, the 23rd of September, and I said, you know, I feel the presence of God all the time. I mean, I'm in tune, but today I saw him.
Right.
It's like, I walked that building and there are 10 by 10 rooms, 10 by 12 rooms already established, centralized kitchen. We could have like the Michael Krimble's done a great job with Washburn Center, allowing hot showers and wash your clothes.
Right.
Like, we could do that at that site. It's, you know, far enough away from, you know, we're not in competition for, you know, services.
Right.
So,
right. So, just to be clear, and you mentioned this earlier, so these are recommendations from the task force to city council.
Yes.
And it's they have to approve it, and then y'all will implement. Is that
right? And so, one, you kind of heard me joking with the mayor. I left a little money on the table because, out of respect for the city council, if they wanted to recommend something, we could go in and we'd have a little money to spend. And sure enough, I'm up there giving my presentation. I had already seen that the mayor was setting money aside for the Lotus campaign. It's like, sweet. Now I don't have to use that in our budget.
Right.
And so he's like, well, you know, we've got this extra money here. Yeah. And so it's like, hold on a second. You know, we've become really close with our city government, you know, because we're working together. You know, it's not us against them. They're
right.
saying, we need your help. So we did, and I hope that the Lotus campaign will come to Pensacola. I know you would love it.
Yeah. I saw their presentation.
Yeah,
for
the landlord participation
yeah.
program and how they leverage you know, capital to create additional affordable housing opportunities. So
yeah.
they're phenomenal.
Yeah, so that kind of leads me to my next question. The business argument for doing this.
Right. So, you know, there's a young man running for mayor, and he is also on Visit Pensacola board, and, you know, he talks about it all the time. You know, our jewel is downtown Pensacola. We got our history, and you know, it's our hub, and it's going to, you know, make everything else flourish, you know, as if we invest in our downtown. And so right now, you know, we're in a position where we don't have enough beds to offer people that are homeless
mm-hmm.
to move, you know, into a safer, clean environment and allow our downtown business to buzz the way it should. So obviously, if you're coming off I-110 and you're a tourist and you go, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to hang out here.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, you're walking downtown with your granddaughter, 6 years old, and she's wondering, you know, what's going on. And there's inappropriate things happening and
mm-hmm.
business owners are very frustrated, and they should be, you know, so there, it's a very emotional issue. You know, you've got people on either side. There are folks that want to scream out the window, get a job. You know,
right.
they don't understand all that, the complex issues. I get it. I'm frustrated too. And then on the other side, the folks that are good-hearted but just keep our homeless, you know, enabled. And, you know, we need to empower them. We need to engage them in, you know, a life that is safer for
right.
them.
Right.
So whether that's a campsite in another area, but it's, you know, allowing us to make sure that they're safe and clean and, you know, have a bathroom and things like that.
Right.
So, yes, it's, I'm sure, you know, our tax dollars.
Right. But I mean, when you have all these resources that you can use and, you know, I think at the end of the day, the goal is to get them back integrated into society with a job, be stabilized and try to, you know, get
right.
them back into the workforce.
Yeah, so not everyone is going to have a job, but they're going to get disability and they're going to be able to, you know, live in one of these villages that are going up. I'm so impressed. Since we came out with all of our recommendations, I'm learning things like Wayne Evers is a property manager, and he came to the first meeting and he said, you know what, I'll never be back. And I'm looking at him, why? And he's like, because I learned what I got to do, and I'm going to do highest and best use. And he's building 50 units
wow.
in Myrtle Grove. That came from that first meeting and working with those two brilliant women in how do you access federal and state dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Catholic diocese is all in. So the bishop, you know, has a heart for the homeless. And like me, he wants to see success. You know, he doesn't want them just to be enabled living under an eave.
Right. So so you've mentioned a number of business folks who have been engaged and are doing things. If someone's listening and they haven't been involved yet, what can they do to get involved?
Well, our website should be up by the end of the week, and that's reducinghomelessness.com. And you can go on and learn about each of the subcommittees. The minutes of the meetings are there. We're just a group of volunteers. We're not in sunshine, and, you know, we've never turned anybody down that wants to be involved. But for the folks that really want to make a difference, we need 2 to 4 acres in the Brownsville area for a project. And what else? Like, there's Kevin Dunham is a developer. He went to Kearney Center last week. He wants to come back and do that full scale, you know, four part facility. So, you know, get involved. We need your ideas. You know, we need your support.
Yeah. So you mentioned the city's been doing a good bit. Is the county? I mean, you mentioned some.
Yeah, they're getting their feelings hurt. They're like, well, what about us?
Right. Okay. That's
we
good
want
to
give you some money.
Right. Right.
So. Anyway, we are lining up for that. We just met on Friday and said, okay, we kind of got this buttoned up with the city, and I know that there's $4.1 million of home and ARPA dollars set aside for homelessness. So Meredith Reeves has taken the lead, Travis Tompkins, and you know what I want to do is meet with each commissioner, let them know the history, where we're at, what's working, not working, and then get their ideas. What do they want to see before we make recommendations?
Yeah, because I mean, obviously, the city's fairly small footprint in our community, and the county's much larger. And you know, you have populations that are spread out in other parts of the county that need that help as well. I'm sure that's going to be part of the conversation.
Yeah, I've had some interaction. Remember, I've been having hundreds of conversations. As a matter of fact, I even keep track of every visit I've had since the 22nd of November. And it's a little annoying to say, well, you know, it's a city problem. And then others are like, well, why isn't the county involved? And it's like, you know what? We all are enjoying our city and county lands.
Yeah, right.
So we are all in this together. And I really see that movement. I think this, you know, the people that are on our advisory committee, you know, are opening doors for us. So anyway, it's exciting times.
Right. So what's your time frame for this initial plan?
So... as I said, in front of City Council on September 23rd, they, you know, gave another 120 days under I-110, and I'm saying you're not going to need that, and they're looking at me saying, you know, you're crazy, and it's like I truly believe by Thanksgiving that is going to be vacated, and people can enjoy their, you know, walks after their big Thanksgiving dinner under I-110, and then we're going to start construction under there. Again, the mayor is looking at another site to help a someone that's very well versed in campsites to be able to do some work for some men. And then if we can move our women and children to that area on in that 3-acre area, right off Palafox and Maxwell, and it's safe. Again, the 15-foot fence, you know, keep all the bad guys out.
Right, right.
And Chief Randall's been fantastic.
Yes.
And of course, Sheriff Simmons and Tommy Leiter are all in.
Right.
So really grateful for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very encouraging to hear that you've got real community buy-in. From you know, business community, nonprofits, government, law enforcement, and all of that working together is really how you're going to make progress.
You're right. It's you know, human capital and also our tax dollars.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of helps everybody.
Right. Right. So getting close to the end of the show here, but again, tell us the website and any other resources that are out there for people to learn more.
Sure. So if anyone wants to, you know, call and talk to me on the phone, I'm at 850-202-0028. That's Pathways for Change. And our website is reducinghomelessness.com. So we're not a nonprofit organization. We are just a task force of business people and social services and so that, again, will show all of the work we've been doing over the last 4 months and what our plans are for the future.
Great. Well, Connie Bookman, President and CEO of Pathways for Change, really appreciate the time today. Lots of great information, good things happening, and happening quickly. I think that's the real encouraging thing. It's not we're not doing studies to see what we have to do next to
exactly.
Do you know, have more studies and more meetings.
Good point.
It's getting kind of the rubber to the road and implementing some solutions. So thank you for the work you're doing. If you're a business out there that wants to be engaged, reach out to Connie. She will get you involved and encourage you to do that. With that, we're done for today. So thanks for joining the Chamber Connection.